Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي أبدأ الأفلاك والأرضين والصلاة والسلام على من كان نبيا وآدم بين الماء والطين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح ربنا زدنا علما أما بعد. The topic today is the difference between arrogance. One is arrogance and one is shame and shyness. But there's a difference between both. The next saying of Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatul Alay, is from a letter he wrote to a disciple in reply to his inquiry. Maulana Thanwi says in reply to his disciple, when a man has to carry in the presence of some people a large vessel full of water or a basket full of mangoes and he hesitates, then for an average person it is arrogance. It is arrogance. But it is necessary for him to carry it on purpose as part of his cure. But it is necessary for him to carry it on purpose as part of his cure. As for feeling shy on something contrary to his habit, it is called a different thing. It is khajala, embarrassment, shyness, shame. We can see the difference between arrogance and shame or modesty in this way. If anyone hesitates to carry a basket on his head, then to find out whether it is from arrogance, get him to ride an elephant in a procession among people in a majestic manner, which is not his habit, and see whether he hesitates. If he does, then his first hesitancy is not from arrogance, but from modesty. And Fazeh Isa, Mufti Taqi Usmani, comments on this. The Maulana was granted deep insight, and he could observe the difference in the two overlapping things, which could have been confused otherwise. One of these is arrogance, which is very bad and the root of many unseen maladies. The other is modesty or shame, when one feels ashamed on doing something which is not bad but is allowed. The Maulana said that if anyone hesitates to carry something on his head in public, then sometimes it is a sign of arrogance because he regards himself as superior to other people and carrying that is against his dignity. This is arrogance and it is disallowed and unlawful. Such a person's treatment is that he must be made to carry the basket in public to weed out from his mind his superiority complex, modesty. Sometimes the hesitancy is due to modesty. Since a man is not used to do something, he feels ashamed to break his habit. Not that it offends his dignity, but because he normally doesn't do it. This is modesty, not arrogance. And this is not bad. So there is a difference between both. To determine what is, how may one know whether the hesitancy is from arrogance or shame? The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi showed how the malady may be diagnosed. Get the hesitant person to ride an elephant in a procession in public. If he feels ashamed, then it is clear that his hesitancy in carrying the basket is from modesty. But if he is delighted on riding the elephant in public, then his hesitancy in carrying a basket is from arrogance at having to do something against his dignity. This is the physician who diagnoses the malady. Such a person who is arrogant must be cured of his illness. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu treated himself. The treatment has evidence in the conduct of the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was Khalifa, he received from someone a Roman robe which was very excellent. He wore it on Juma and delivered the khutbah and led the Juma Salat wearing this Roman robe. Even otherwise, he had a very dignified and awe-inspiring personality. He was tall and well-built. When he wore the robe, he looked very handsome, and the people noticed this fact. After the prayers, he went home, carried a water skin, filled it with water, and putting it on his back, he emptied the contents in the vessels of some widows of Medina. Someone asked him why he did it, and he said, "When I wore the robe during the khutbah, I felt very dignified and was apprehensive lest I got in my head, something in my head. So I have tried to cure myself by carrying water to these widows of Medina." Observe, he treated himself. Though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said about him, "Law kana ba'di nabiyun lakana Umar," if there were to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hadith of Tirmidhi, hadith also in Musnad Ahmad. He made a deep scrutiny of himself lest he was misled, and he took corrective measures forthwith. Another example from the Sahaba, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, did the same. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a Maulvi type of man, more like a Maulvi, Maulana, Alim type. He had no other interests. All his life he taught Allah's words and the Prophet's sayings, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He narrated some 5,364 hadiths. 5,364 hadiths only from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Marwan ibn Hakam was governor of Medina, he had to travel somewhere. So he appointed Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu as acting governor in his place, in the place of Marwan ibn Hakam. It was the result of his association with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his teachings that he, Abu Huraira, conducted his office very efficiently all day, disposing of everything a governor was expected to do. When his duties were over in the evening, he picked up wood and carried it on his head through the market of Medina, where he sold it to earn his livelihood. He did not suffice at that. When he carried the wood through the streets, he would announce, make way, the Amir al-Mu'mineen is here. The Amir, who was a laborer too. He did that in order that he might not feel elated by the high office of acting governor that he held. This was his corrective measure. Another example of Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyiduna Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu ibn Yaman was the conqueror of Persia. He was the conqueror of Iran, who routed the Kisra, the Khosrows. He had made everyone in the court of the Kisra of the Persian Empire shudder when he delivered a sermon there. He made everyone shudder. He was the Prophet's confidant, Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu appointed him as governor of Madain, the governor of Madain, the capital of Iran at that time. In those days, Iran, Persia, was a superpower. And obviously its capital, Madain, was majestic, something like Washington or Moscow today. I have seen the ruins of Kisra's palace, says Mufti Sahib. The walls of the palace of Madain, of the Kisra, stand even today and do not fail to impress visitors. But when Hudhaifa, when he went there, he rode a donkey, and that was then considered the meanest form of transport. All day he dispensed official duty. And in the evening, he sold merchandise to earn his livelihood, though it was proper for him to draw salary from the government, because he's the conqueror. He is the one in charge there. However, Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu engaged in business in order to fight off arrogance if that infested him. This was his corrective measure. So it is not bid'ah, the treatment prescribed by the mashayikh, the sheikhs, and the treatment prescribed by the Sufis to their disciples has its roots in these corrective measures adopted by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some people allege that the treatment and the mujahada suggested by the sheikhs and the Sufis are bid'ah, but I have recounted to you the example of treatment employed by the very Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The Sufis use their examples to treat their disciples. Reforming inner self at Deoband. In the initial stages of Darul Uloom Deoband, the students were not restricted to only learning from books. Rather, they were trained the little things. This is why the early history of Darul Uloom Deoband is reflected in these words. We saw a conqueror in a madrasa. Men of Allah were prepared there. The teachers did not teach their students only from textbooks. They also trained them and reformed their nafs and their inner self. Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, and training students. Maulana Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, has written about Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, in his book, Arwahi Thalatha, that when Maulana Gangohi, when he spied signs of arrogance in a student, he put him on a corrective work, like to set shoes of visitors in a right order. When he sensed humility in a student, then he himself carried that student's shoes. While he was taking class one day, it began to rain, and it became necessary to vacate the place and go elsewhere. The students picked up their books and rushed indoors. But Maulana Gangohi, rahmatullah alayhi, carried the shoes of the students to cover. Thus he trained them on the one hand, and on the other showed them through his action that the work was not below their dignity. Humility of Maulana Aziz, Maulana Ayazaz Ali, rahmatullah alayhi, my respected father, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, recounted to us about a journey of Shaykhul Adab, Maulana Ayaz Ali, my father Rahmatullah Alay, and other teachers of Darul Uloom Deoband, who were students of the Maulana, were his co-travelers. As they were about to go, Maulana Ayaz Ali, Rahmatullah Alay, told them that a hadith called upon travelers to appoint one of their members as an Amir, so they must do so. My respected father, Rahmatullah Alay, pointed out that they already had an Amir, implying that the Maulana was the Amir. He asked, Do you wish to appoint me as your Amir? They said, yes. Who would take the office in your presence? He said, when anyone is made Amir, his command has to be obeyed. When anyone is made Amir, his command has to be obeyed. They said, Insha'Allah, we will obey you. We will obey you. They then went to the railway station, and as the train came, he carried a few baggages and walked towards the train. They said, Maulana, what are you doing? He said, you will have to obey the Amir. The teacher carried baggage while the students followed empty-handed. Throughout the journey, the Maulana seized every opportunity to serve, always shooing them off with, obey the Amir. These were our elders. Today we have built a false prestige and consider these things below our dignity. This is takabbur. This is arrogance. Maulana Muzaffar Hussain's humility, Rahmatullah Alay. Maulana Muzaffar Hussain, Rahmatullah Alay, Khandalwi, from the same town of Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakaria, was a great wali. He was a great wali and friend of Allah, Maulana Muzaffar Hussain. His wilayat, his saintness, and his knowledge and righteousness were well known. People visited him in large numbers. An old man traveled to visit him. While he was on foot, carrying some luggage, this old man took rest after every few steps because that was heavy. By a coincidence, Maulana Muzaffar Hussain, Rahmatullah Alay, was also returning to Kandla from one of his journeys. He saw this old man with heavy luggage, which he could not carry. He said to him, if you permit me, I will carry it for you. The man said, if you do that, Allah will reward you. So Maulana carried his luggage and they walked along. They conversed as they walked. The Maulana asked him where he was going. He said that he was going to Kandla to meet a great, great Maulana of whom he had heard by the name of Maulana Muzaffar Hussain, Rahmatullah Alay. Then he asked, where are you going? He said, I am also going to Kandla, where I reside. The old man asked, do you know Maulana Muzaffar Hussain, Rahmatullah Alay? He said, yes. The old man said, he is a great alim, a great man of Allah, a righteous wali. He said, yes, yes, he does offer salat. He does offer salat. They cut their distance in this way. When they were in the limits of Kandla and its people observed the Maulana carrying weight on his back, everyone rushed to take it from him. He was greeted, shown respect, and people came to him. The old man was worried, and only after some time did he learn that his companion was Maulana Muzaffar Hussain, Rahmatullah Alay. Allah had made these people a specimen of the manner of the Sahaba. Allah had made these people a specimen of the manner of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. The humility of Sheikh al-Hind, rahmatullah alayh. The father-in-law of Qari Muhammad Tayyib, rahmatullah alayh, was the son of a nawab and a member of a rich household. His father sent him to Darul Uloom Deoband to learn. However, the hostel there was simple and his father thought that his son would find it difficult to reside there. So his father brought him to be admitted and he was enrolled and accommodated in a room of the masjid. The Sheikh al-Hind had friendly terms with his father and he said to himself that the lad was not used to sleeping on the floor, So he took a cot from his own house to his room. Observe, the Sheikhul Hind, whom Maulana Thanwi Rahmatul Alayh called, he called Sheikhul Hind as Sheikhul Arab wal Ajam. He himself carried the cot of this would-be student. At the same time, he thought that on seeing him, the student might feel ashamed that his teacher carried his cot for him. So he put it down near the room and said, "Take, boy, carry your cot. I too am the son of a sheikh. Take your cot." He spoke these words that some of the lad's shyness might wear off. So, honor is bestowed by Allah. Anyway, the gist of these words is that the phobia of dignity is introduced to man by the devil and shaitan, this phobia. This is below your dignity. No. What is man and what is his dignity? Only Allah causes people to respect someone. Otherwise, if they know the hidden faults, they would despise the same man whom they honor. But Allah conceals his fault and gives him honor. The Quran says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And honor belongs to Allah, to his Rasul, and to the believers. وَتُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. You exalt whom you will, and you abase whom you will. Allah, he gives honor even to one in rags, and he, Allah, abases even one who wears a crown. Hence it is wrong to imagine that a certain deed does not behove one's dignity. Such thought is devil's deception and arrogance. So dismiss this notion. You are made of dust, and to dust you will return. If that is so, then what kind of work is below your dignity? The humility of Mufti Azizur Rahman, my respected father, often told us about Mufti Azizur Rahman, the chief Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband, and his teacher. His rulings are published in 10 volumes under the title of Fatawa Darul Uloom Deoband. But they are not all. It was his custom every day when he left his home in the morning to go to the madrasa. When he left his home in the morning to go to madrasa, to stop at the nearby homes of the widows and ask, "Oh, honorable lady, would you like me to get you something from the market?" They would tell him of their needs. There were about 5 widows. Then he would go to the market, buy what they wanted, and deliver to each woman what she had demanded. Sometimes one of them would say, "Mawli, hey Mawli sahab, you got me a wrong thing." He would say, "It does not matter, I will replace it." Someone would say, "Hey Mawli sahab, I had asked for 1/2 pound, but you have brought 3/4 pound. He would volunteer to return the excess. After that, he would go to madrasa and attend to his duties. The humility of even Mufti Muhammad Shafi, Rahmatul Alayh. We also found our respected father of the same kind. He never thought of building his own dignity. He would go to the market like a common man, a bowl in his hand to buy milk. One day Maulana Sayyid Hussein Madani, Rahmatul Alayh, saw him buying milk in this manner. Next day he called my father and said to him, "You are now Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband. It is not proper that you go out to the market vessel in hand buying milk. You must be a little careful." Maulana Madani, Rahmatul Alayh, meant that though he should not seek dignity for himself, and what he did was not below dignity, but sometimes people tend to lose faith, and the Mufti must have the people's faith on his side. So do not do it right now. But my father had no hesitation. Allah gave him honor the way he was, and great men submitted to him, irrespective of the dress he wore, the appearance and the gait he maintained. Ministers and wealthy men came to him and sought his advice. Allah had bestowed the honor. Forget about dignity. Honor is bestowed by Allah. If a man pretends to be dignified, then he will not be honorable. Nothing gives him honor, neither dress nor appearance. Only Allah bestows it. He will give honor even if you live in a hut, if He decides to bestow it. Look at those who live in palatial houses. Though people look at them and their luxury, yet they curse them. This is not honor. It is abasing them. So do not forsake any deed, imagining that it drops your dignity. Arrogance is the root of all sins. If a man becomes arrogant and imagines himself to be dignified, then he allows many evil habits to infest him. They are innumerable, like anger, hatred, jealousy, hurting someone, etc. He regards himself as great, but is in fact of no consequence. A beautiful prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to make this dua. Allahumma ij'alni fi aini saghira, wa la make me small in my own eyes. Wa fi ayunin nasi kabira, and make me big in the eyes of people. Allahumma ij'alni fi aini saghira, wa la make me small in my eyes. Wa fi ayunin nasi kabira, and big in the eyes of people. What a wonderful dua. A man must think of himself as humble, though people may regard him as great. This is what Maulana Madani rahmatullah alayhi meant when he said that if people do not esteem anyone, then they will hurt him and annoy him. If they esteem him, then he will be safe from their mischief. In other words, deriving benefit is not the aim. Driving away harm is the objective. Deriving benefit is not the aim. Driving away harm is the objective. However, one must always regard himself as humble. May Allah grant us this attitude in life. Ameen. When man realizes his insignificance and builds humility in his heart, then these illnesses disappear by themselves. Gratitude throws out arrogance. My Sheikh, Dr. Abdul Hay, rahmatullah alayh, prescribed a cure for arrogance and takabbur. And this cure is better than 1,000 mujahadas. Whenever a man looks at any good in him, be it his health, knowledge, worship, piety, etc., and he feels delighted at that, then he should immediately thank Allah for it. If a man thanks anyone, then he really acknowledges his favor. He also acknowledges that though he did not deserve it, yet Allah bestowed it on him. Who deserves the gratitude? For instance, a debtor. A debtor returns borrowed money to the creditor after a year. He does not show favor thereby. Rather, the creditor had shown favor by extending the loan. When he repays the debts, the debtor does not deserve to be thanked because he discharges his duty. Only is worthy of thanks the one who goes beyond his duty and shows favor. Therefore, this person is deserving of our thanks. Gratitude acknowledges unworthiness. Hence, if anyone thanks Allah, then his confession is latent in his gratitude. That though he did not deserve the blessings, yet Allah bestowed it on him through his mercy. He acknowledges that his health, knowledge, worship, everything comes to him from Allah. Whatever has happened and whatever will happen is through Allah's rahmah. Whatever piety a man is inclined to do is inspired to him by Allah. Man could not have done it at his own will, so let him not boast about anything. All he is, and what a beautiful statement to summarize it. All man is like a pen in the hand of the writer. Someone else writes, but credit goes to the pen. All man is like a pen in the hand of the writer. Someone else writes, but credit goes to the pen. So, thank often. Anyway, whatever good deeds a man is inspired to do, the inspiration is from Allah the Glorious. لولا الله ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا. Oh Allah, were it not for you, we would not have been guided, neither had we given charity nor offered salat. The Prophet was saying at the time of conduct, لولا الله ما اهتدينا, if not for you, Allah, we would not have had hidayat. ولا تصدقنا, we would not have given charity. ولا صلينا, nor would we have even performed salat. Allahumma laka alhamd wa laka shukr. In that case, this calls for gratitude. Alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. O Allah, it is your mercy that you enabled me to worship you. Whatever I have failed to do I ask you to forgive. So this is the remedy. It's a remedy better than 1,000 mujahadas to show gratitude. Thank often. O Allah, it is your mercy that you enabled me to worship you. Whatever I have failed to do well, I ask you to forgive. Conclusion. In short, whenever a man thinks of the good in him, he must thank Allah and acknowledge that he was incapable of that, and only Allah has granted it. Given that, neither should man boast about it nor feel elated. Allah has bestowed that, and he may take it away too, whenever he likes. May Allah rid us of the ill of pride, arrogance, takabbur. Ameen. Wa akiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?